Let me ask you something, brother. What you gonna do this Sunday at Gillette Stadium when Drake Mania runs wild all over you?
Or rather, what are you gonna do when the Texans run wild all over the Patriots offensive line and rookie quarterback Drake May? I'm kidding. I'm ready for the mayhem. I am ready for the mania. I am ready to be amazed, Andy Hart, as we come to you now with some actual pep, some juice, some fire, some buzz. I'm not going to say we're all the way back, but I'm thinking that we're back. We've got something to get excited about for the first time in years in Pats Nation, and of course here on the latest Six Rings and Football Things podcast, brought to you by your friends at WEEI Odyssey and 2400 Sports. We've got a hell of a preview and prediction show lined up for you, brought to you as always, or hosted rather, by WEEI Afternoon's own Andy Hart. He's at Jumbo Hart. And of course, at the bottom of a pint glass, you'll always find, actually all over the freaking dial, nights, weekends, postgame, your old pal, Nick Fitzy Stevens. Dude, buddy, yeah, are you ready? Because he may be running into the mouth of a lion in a den full of savages, but at the same time, it is what it is, and it is time to embrace this moment that you, me, Chris Scheim, the people we work with, the good people of Pats Nation have been waiting for ages.
There is no reason for anything but positivity, energy, optimism right now.
Energies. Nope.
Energies. Hey, if you want to, whatever you do, you know, if you're that excited, you can, it is what it is.
That's why we call it your energies.
Yep, your energies. Because I don't know what we're going to be discussing when we do the Six Rings postgame show around 4:15 on Sunday afternoon.
Aren't you fascinated by the fact that it could be like, holy shit, did I just see what I saw? Or, oh boy.
And in all likelihood, it'll be somewhere between the two. It will be, oh, you know what was awesome? That throw in the first quarter. And then that one in the third where he ran and he did the thing. And then it'll also be, yeah, but I'd rather he not do that thing he did in the second quarter where he got rock bottomed again or lowered his shoulder and tried to run somebody out. Like, I think we're probably going to see some sort of a balance of optimistic, hopeful play and, oh yeah, he's still a rookie and he's still got some development to do and he's still only 22, but there's reason to be excited about this football game. And entertainment value skyrocketed. We came off last week, which was the worst football game I've ever seen. Zero entertainment value, zero hope for either team. We have hope. We have a matchup of, I'm going to say it, we have a matchup of two of the best young quarterbacks in football. I said it.
Wow. You're going to own that one?
Said it.
And not just here? You're going to take that one all the way to the FM dial and everything?
I might, because I am a believer in Drake May's abilities. I am also a jackass. That is true. But
you have been on this. You have, in fairness, you have been on the Drake May wagon. You have been made for this moment for some time now. So this isn't something like where you just found an open space on the bandwagon or shoved someone else off and made room for yourself.
No,
you've been excited about this. And I got to tell you, just typing in Drake May into Twitter and just seeing the art, like I haven't seen like edits, uniform swaps, graphics. It's the first time I've seen people that used to do hype reels. They did a few for Mac Jones. They lived to do cut-ups of Edelman, of Gronk, of Brady, of Belichick. The people, like, it's almost like there's been an awakening. Like the force has awoken once again. Like, there is going to be, like, sizzle at the stadium. All the seats will be filled on Sunday. And then you type in Drake May to Twitter, and I saw this one. I saw this little video. Someone posted with the caption, "But I don't want Drake May to be behind that offensive line." And that's when Drake May says,
"And here's May keeping it to his left. Got a block from Copenhagen inside the 10 and hurdles to the 5.
We're actually going to see, like, he may done get wrecked. He's probably not going to be feeling too terrific on Monday morning, especially after facing one of the top 5 defenses that comes in at a crazy quarterback pressure rate. They'll be blitzing his lips off Sunday. Will Anderson, amazing young pass rusher. Danielle Hunter, the most quarterback pressures in the NFL through 5 weeks. It's going to be rough. But if Jacoby Brissett sat back there as the statue that he is, slash was, slash probably will continue to be, and God bless the man for the slings and arrows he took for Pats Nation this season, this game would be such a slog. It would be such a lopsided affair. It would be boring. They're like, I don't care who made the decision, Andy. I don't care. I understand why, like, rightfully so, the organization can be criticized for the way they handled it. And horseshit on rye if the plan all along was to start him against the Texans like this. It was not.
No chance.
Absolutely not. But they had to make the decision that they made. And it's a high risk, high reward. But that's the way this goes.
And you just said they're going to blitz him. They're going to pressure him. That's true. But what's that famous quote? Like, if you come at the king, you better not miss.
You best not miss.
If you blitz somebody like Drake May and don't get him, he can make you regret it with his legs. He can make you regret it with throws off platform, hit Pop Douglas dragging over the middle, and all of a sudden it's a catch and run. There is just more opportunity for this offense. And we had somebody said, delusional Patriots fan, let's see what the OC can do. Absolutely. Because the OC is now developing Drake May, but he also has more opportunities within his offense. He can run his zone reads. He has a running quarterback. He can put some pressure, which, as we've seen with teams like, I don't know, Baltimore, can give opportunities for Ramondre Stevenson, assuming he gets on the practice field and isn't hurt. But there is more, and even the receivers, who I think had grown, I don't even know what the word is, but like frustrated, and not just because they're not getting the ball, but I think also just now when Drake May scrambles, I think it's a legit scramble drill, and they're like, I could get the ball. Doesn't matter where I am on the field, doesn't matter what direction I'm running, he could throw it to me. He's not going to just tuck and get sacked or throw it away, and that could be good and bad. I'm not saying that's going to be always plays. It could be plays for the defense at times, but I think you're going to have a more invested offensive coordinator, a more invested skill group set of playmakers, because Drake May, every play, no matter where you are in the field, you could be offensive lineman. If you're on the backside and you're like, oh, the pocket was rolling right. No, he's the kind of guy that could roll back the other way. You never know if it's coming back to you.
Right.
I think you're going to have 11 people, and this is not a shot at Jacoby Brissett. I love him. I respect him. Appreciate the interviews he did on our afternoon show on Mondays, everything. But the reality is you've entered sort of that 2024 world of quarterback play that is opportunity, that is athleticism. Hell, yesterday, Gerard Mayo was asked about Drake May. What are the first two things he said? Arm strength and athleticism. That changes everything when you have those things. And he's going to have to learn. He's going to take his lumps. But when you have arm strength and athleticism, it just opens up opportunities for everybody involved. So, and now I keep saying this because there's people in this town. There's people on our text line at the station and on Twitter like, oh, he's going to get mashed. He's going to get broken. This
what
is
a
stupid.
Terrible decision. Yeah, right. I can't wait to watch the kid make it to IA by week 9.
Why are you being like that? Like, why are you being like that? Because now is the time to have hope and optimism and opportunity and energy and all these things. We'll see how it plays out. I don't know. I can't promise you he's good. I can't promise you he doesn't get hurt. I can't promise you he makes more plays than mistakes. Hell, I can promise you there's going to be struggles because he's not the second coming of Jesus himself. But and if you read Steve Buckley had a nice story yesterday in The Athletic where he went back and did every first start for Patriots quarterbacks since like 70s. And there's a lot of bad performance. Steve Grogan was abysmal. Steve Grogan went like 13 of 34 with two picks, only one touchdown, like a 46 passer rating. Steve Grogan was a pretty good quarterback, had a nice long career. Like,
yeah,
there's going to be some lumps. There's a lot of debuts that are, you know, kind of pedestrian. Oh, 13 of 27 or something like that. That's probably where he'll be. He'll probably complete 13 or 14 passes out of 25 to 30 passes. It won't be great, but I think there's going to be some throws that you're going to look at and say, ooh, it's kind of like, I'm sure you saw on social media, our buddy, Tyreek Hill. I don't know why I said he's our buddy. Mm-hmm. Our buddy, Tyreek Hill.
Oh, by the way, quick story I'd like to share. Last week, right before I did one of the old Joker on the Jumbotron routines in the end zone, giving away some prizes, our cameraman had been at midfield for the coin toss, and he said Tyreek Hill chirped at him and told him to get the F out of the way.
Doesn't surprise me. I think Tyreek Hill's probably a dink.
Absolutely. Oh, no.
You don't hit like charter fishermen people and like the things he's done, and forget about the major things he's done.
But yeah,
I think he's a dink, but he's also a talented wide receiver. And he put on social media this week that, you know, this guy's next for Christian Gonzalez. You have a top three corner, and that injects life into the defense. I'm expecting similar things in the coming weeks, ups and downs, but I am expecting life to be injected into the offense. And I really think that's all we can ask for right now. I'm not looking to necessarily win a lot of games. In fact, I'd actually like inject life in the offense while still losing games so you can get something else atop the draft this year. But you have, you've changed the feeling around the Patriots. And I'm a homer. I'm a maniac. I'm a whatever you want to call it for Drake May. I loved his press conference yesterday. From the second he didn't sit down, when he's like, mm-hmm. No, I'm not going to sit. That feels weird. I'm going to stand.
As a matter of fact, let's give the audience a little slice of that action as well. The aw shucks, country strong, humble pie that is Drake May acknowledging that he's getting his first start for the New England Patriots and how fired up he is.
Prepare and try to stay ready every week. You know, I think that's the thing about this league. You never know when your number's going to get called, so try to stay ready. And I think, you know, like I said earlier, Jacoby, I think he did all he could. I think he, you know, battled his butt off and was a great leader. So I think kind of the biggest thing is, you know, it's a winning league. You know, we're sitting here at 1-4, and I think you know, these guys around here want to win.
I can tell you for a fact those guys around there want to win. And you know what else they want to do? Get excited about the fact that the ball may be coming their way. Get excited about the fact that they may be able to make plays. Get excited about the fact that they're going to have to stay engaged for longer, like you said. Get excited about the fact that they never know when it's going to be coming their way. It's going to be coming their way faster as well. And fans, I read a great thing, Andrew Callahan's piece, where Marcus Jones was telling him that he read a route right in practice, was ready to make the pick, turned around, made the right read, and there was nothing he could do because the ball came in so much quicker, jumped out of May's hands, came in like an absolute rocket, hot off the runway, blazed past his hands, hit the receiver for a long completion by the sideline. You're going to get that. Now, the audience, Pats fans, the people in attendance Sunday, everyone at home knows they should be, but I'll remind them once again to best be prepared for a much lower floor whenever Drake May bottoms out. He'll probably get sacked. He could fumble. He may run and give up the ball. He may throw a couple picks on Sunday. He needs a lot of time. He needs real game reps. He needs real theater to get the experience to make him the best possible pro quarterback that he can be. However, you're also going to see some, oh shit, oh wow, oh my plays on Sunday. There could be bombs down the middle. There could be posts. There could be go routes. You may see the ball thrown with more velocity than you've seen since Tom Brady in his prime. And I can't wait for that. And I believe fans are going to give him that runway. Fans are going to give him the leniency. They'll be fired up when the game starts. They can't wait to see him run out the tunnel as QB1. And when he makes mistakes, people aren't going to be, what are they going to be yelling? Put in Milton, bring back Zappy. No, this is your guy. This is your guy. And you get to say you were here when the ride began. That alone is something special, as likely will be some of the plays that he makes on Sunday.
And I loved when he said, I'm going to be nervous, and then I'm going to settle in, and it's about making plays. And it is. Modern football is about making plays, and that is the differentiation between Brissett and May. Like, they couldn't make any plays in the passing game. They couldn't make any plays offensively. They had sort of set back the offense 40 years, and it's just impossible to line up and run and do what they were trying to do, even though it was close. So there is this undertone of, like, Drake May hate that I've seen on our text line, and I've seen a little bit on Twitter. Like, it's almost like people want him to get hurt so they can say, I told you so. He was going to get hurt,
please,
which
I
don't understand. And it's a strange mentality. And I would never steer into that. I'm steering into because this is a long season. Yeah. I don't want to, you know, you've only played 5 games. There's going to be low points moving forward. There's time for negativity.
There's 12 more games to go. And I would also like to point out, as you have said, like, are you going to get the kid killed? Are you going to get him injured? And you've said on the radio and here as well, oh, yeah, so that's what happened to Joe Burrow. Then they ended up getting him the best receiver in football, and they're in the Super Bowl the next year. Nobody wants Drake May to get hurt. No one's looking forward to an ACL or an LCL or a PCL or an MCL or an AFL-CIO. Nobody wants anything. I would love to see him stay healthy, make some plays, Pat still get a great receiver or tackle, or preferably both next year in the draft. That would be awesome. You have to be ready. I think people know that it's not going to be like that. It's not just going to be all, you know, fireworks and whiz bang right out the gate. But I do want to point out to the several people now as we record this live on the WEEI and Fitzy GFY socials, I would like to point out to people that this whole thing, like Dan Orlovsky, I'm not going to play the audio. I'm sure we'll share it tonight on the radio. You've probably played it ad nauseum. Worst decision ever. This offensive line is unbearable. You can't put anyone back there. The Patriots finished week five as the 20th ranked offensive line. Now, that's not great, but it's also not the worst. Mm-hmm. They've improved a little bit. And get ready for this crowd. They're actually going to probably go to battle again this week with the same offensive line they had last week. For the first time all season, maybe for the first time in ages, there will be offensive line continuity, which is great, which means that they're now reading each other, learning each other's ticks, figuring out how they move. And they're going to have a quarterback that is not just going to eat the ball all the time and get, now he'll get sacked, but he's not going to get sacked the same way Brissett does. So there are all sorts of new dynamics at play, Andy.
And if we're looking at the matchup, the Patriots have been in two losses that a play here, a play there, they could have won the game. They could have beat the Dolphins. They could have beat the Seahawks at home. They didn't. They couldn't get the plays they needed. That's not just on the quarterback and Jacoby Brissett. They didn't get the plays they needed on defense either to win those games. And the Texans are a 4-1 team. The Texans have four wins by a total of 15 points. The Texans have won close games. The Texans have a minus point differential on the season. So the Texans...
Oh, because they got smoked by Minnesota in that
correct.
One game. Yeah.
And every other game was a 2-, 3-, or 4-point win. So don't tell me the Texans are unbeatable or this great team. They're a good team. Guess where their number one receiver is? He's on IR. They lost their best weapon in the passing game. That helps the Patriots. Their defense, yes, they're going to come after you. They have a good pass rush. I think they got like five guys with more than one sack on the season, 15 sacks total. They're going to come after you. I'm not telling you this is, you know, a winnable game necessarily the way we circled some on the calendar or even last week's. They should have played Drake May last week. That's the reality. But this game is also not against, you know, the 07 Patriots in week five that are just going to roll right through you and put up 38 in the first half. And the belief factor that I think Drake May is going to bring, the optimism, the youthful energy, you marry that up with C.J. Stroud trying to find his way. Oh, by the way, C.J. Stroud, who said Drake May was the most pro-ready quarterback.
Thank you. After the Thank draft. You. That's like, right.
Not that he's an expert. I mean, I don't really know if that was his honest
But opinion. If I've ever wanted C.J. Stroud to be right, this is the time.
Right, right. And I just, so there's reason beyond just Drake May to say, this doesn't have to be a beatdown. This might be competitive. And I don't, like, they get a lot of penalties. Texans are a heavily penalized team, which I don't love because that means I feel like
they're going to have more than our 12 like last week.
I feel like we could be in another 20 penalty type game, which I don't really want to see. That ruins the entertainment value. But I just think you can expect competitive action. Now, if the line stinks, Verdarian Lowe, he's not as good as PFF tells you he is, that he was like this great offensive lineman, blah, blah, blah.
He was the top rated tackle in week five. Settle down.
Stupid. I hate PFF. Anyway.
I know, but you're the biggest PFF. You're a P1 subscriber. I know.
And Nick Leverett is a concern in the middle of the offensive line. I'm not going to tell you that's not a concern. And it's a concern that Kyle Duggar is hurt and Jabril Peppers is wherever Jabril Peppers is and doing his thing.
on the field. Like,
not on the field, not on the team, not in the stadium. So we know that quarterbacks can change everything. And we know this. Quarterbacks have to be able to play behind suspect offensive lines because every quarterback I've ever seen,
ever
has to play behind a bad offensive line at some point in his career. And I mean at every level. Like,
sure.
I was talking to Arkand about it yesterday. His guy, Shedeur Sanders. The whole story the last 2 years at Colorado has been how crappy the offensive line is. They have a good quarterback, a great receiver, and a crappy offensive line. So the reality of playing modern quarterback is you get all the credit, all the blame, and your ass better be able to play behind a bad offensive line because it's coming.
But at least you're going to see for the first time, I think since this entire new generation of Pats fans was born, an athletic modern quarterback. Mac Jones wasn't that guy. Tom Brady wasn't that guy. Cam Newton in the later stages wasn't that guy. Jacoby Brissett wasn't that guy. Bailey Zappi wasn't that guy. None of the quarterbacks in the 21st century have been that guy.
Now you got that guy.
Now you've got someone like that highlight everyone loved from North Carolina when he's rolling to his left. switches hands and shot put it 10 yards into the end zone to a wide open guy. I wouldn't do that on Sunday. I wouldn't do that against most NFL defenses, but at least he's got that improvisational ability. He looks like an easy kid to root for as well. Andy, he might play so well Sunday, might play so well on Sunday that there's going to be a line of people at the pro shop after the game that are not just taking their Mac Jones or Garoppolo jerseys like the picture here on our live broadcast, slapping duct tape over it and writing May. They may actually go buy a Drake May jersey. And that, too, would be massive. Absolutely. Don't disrespect Trace McSorley, lol. That alone would be another massive win in what could be a series of massive dubs for the team. Yeah, the O-line won't be perfect. The receivers will be energized. The crowd's going to be lit. There are a million different things to get fired up about. Now, as far as the game itself, Andy, the Texans are coming in 4-1. Nico Collins, their number one receiver and the NFL's receiving yardage leader, out for at least 4 weeks on injured reserve. That means Steph Diggs elevates to WR1. We could see an epic battle between Diggs and Gonzo on Sunday, especially with the safety concerns the Patriots have. Tank Dell is back as well. Their running back situation, not ideal, but they do have a good line. They're a 7-point favorite, over under of 37.5 on Sunday. I would like you, sir, to offer a prediction for how you see this game going down.
So as excited as I am, I'm trying to have realistic expectations. I think the Texans are a better football team, and they've shown the ability to close out games, win games. I don't think this is an ugly mismatch necessarily. I am looking for baby steps, simple goals. I said on the radio this week, give me a drive. Give me one drive where you go 80 yards. Drake May goes like 4 of 7 on the drive. And you're like, wow, that was competent offense. That was just execution on the offensive side of the ball. There weren't false starts and holding calls to make it 1st and 20 and those types of things. So that's what I'm looking for. Baby steps, inject some life into the offense, make a few plays, and I think Drake May will do that. I think he will make plays with his arm in this game. There'll be at least one throw down the field because I saw it on the practice field all the time. He throws a beautiful deep ball. He can get the ball down the field and drop it in a bucket.
Beautiful.
So I think there will be a play down the field. I think there will be plays with his feet, and I think C.J. Stroud has the better football team. So I am going to say Texans 27, Patriots 13. But I think we're going to be feeling relatively good coming out of the game, moving forward against teams like the Jags, for example, that I think is going to be a more winnable, beatable team coming off this. So I'm going 27-13 Texans, but it's a feel-good loss in Foxborough.
Are we going to be going back to moral victory Monday?
No, just feel-good loss.
Feel-good loss. So we're going to have a feel-good
really
loss
a moral
type
victory.
Of post-game
It's just show. Like you have some things to feel good about.
Okay. As long as we know, as long as the kid, he won't emerge unscathed, but as long as he's healthy and as long as we see something out of him that gives us, we just need like hope when you open Pandora's box, it doesn't come rushing out like the spirits in the Ark of the Covenant. It just has to be a little something, just a little. I just need to see a little something on Sunday. And I think you will see that little something on Sunday. I think this is a game that the Texans do control by and large from box to wire. However, Drake May will scramble. Drake May will improvise. Drake May will make some plays late in the game as the Texans are up 24-13 into the fourth quarter. It's not quite a slog, but it's not a fireworks show. They score a late touchdown. The Pats try an onside kick. They don't get it. It's a heartbreaker, but at least we have something to talk about. There's a reason why people will have an aftergate after the game as well in the parking lots of Gillette, and not just let's ride out the traffic, but rather let's sit around and talk about the kid and throw on the Six Rings postgame show and have a conversation about how excited we are to be in Pats Nation once again for the first time in several years. I will take the Patriots covering and the over. Give me Texans 24, Patriots 20. More of the same vibes that you're talking about, a feel-good loss. I'm talking about a very feel-good loss, like a couple of highlights you're going to want to like retweet or copy over and share on the gram. Stuff that's going to be making the rounds, like for the right reasons, not like, oh, look at that back foot interception from Mac Jones. Look at that. Look at this awful play. Look how long Brissett held on to the ball. No, no, no. The kind of stuff you want to share. Also, I forget who it was on EEI, Andy, that made this point. Back to the You know, who made the decision? Who ordered the start now? Why now? Why not Miami? Why not wait till after London? Maybe it should be against the Jets. Maybe on the road. Excuse me. For whatever reason it was, there was a very good point made on the radio this week about how the Patriots are going to London next week, and with the embarrassment of how piss poor they played last year in Germany against the Colts in one of so many winnable games that they squandered over the last couple of years, you got to give the international audience something to, like, look at our we've turned it around in New England. The Patriots, they're not all the way back, but they're coming back. Like, look at the kid. There's reason to buy those jerseys. There's reason to keep us tuned in. There are reasons not to flex us out of primetime games once again, because we got something hot under center.
Yeah, and I know there was even some indication that the Jets' embarrassing play in London may have cost Robert Saleh's job, that Woody Johnson, the former
owner, CEO. Woody Johnson?
He was an ambassador to, like, England or ambassador.
Oh, he was Trump's ambassador to, yeah,
like,
he was.
You know, he's got buddies over there, and he was so embarrassed that they kind of didn't show up, that was the final straw in getting rid of Robert Saleh. And I know the Crafts are very proud of their fan base over in England and the UK Pats fans and all that. So, I mean, I think that could play in here. I do think ownership was a part of this. We had Mike Giardi on the afternoon show yesterday. He absolutely thinks the fact that people were leaving early on Sunday and the passion and the crowd and everything is kind of lacking played a role here.
Yes.
I think there's a lot of factors here. I think some of it might've been Alex Van Pelt looking to save his own job with people calling for Ben McAdoo and a change at play caller. I think he might've been like, yeah, okay, you're calling for my job. Why don't we get the rookie out there and change the narrative a little bit and get Drake May excitement. So I think there's a lot of factors here, but this is where all the people that are like, oh, the plan and I don't really care now. It's all water under the bridge. I wanted Drake May to play, and Drake May is playing. So I'm not going to bitch about how we got here. However we got here, we got to where I wanted to be. Drake May is on the field, and I think everybody should embrace that.
Hell yes, we should. Look at this. People actually saying the Patriots will win. They're probably just mostly saying it because they want to get charged up again after the longest time of feeling bad. Like, Andy, we got to a point in Patriots Nation where we almost were embarrassed. Like, we weren't feeling sorry for ourselves, because no team with as many victories, Super Bowls, et cetera, this century, let alone the last 2.5 decades, could ever feel sorry for itself. But it was almost trending toward, like, being embarrassed. Like, you just, like, you almost wanted to say you were a fan of the Patriots and now you're just waiting until they're good again, which, you know, we were spoiled, and you don't get to pick and choose when your team is great, dominant, or competitively relevant once again. But I'm with Giardi. I've told you on the postgame show, I say it on social media, and I'm not just doing it because I want clicks or engagement. There's nothing there. There is not, like, people were there just for, like, the primary comment I heard last week as to why people were there last Sunday, it wasn't even just, I couldn't give the tickets away, or because I'm a fan, damn it. It was, well, it's a beautiful day. We figured, why not?
Yeah, I mean, feel that energy, that passion. Why not? Yeah,
if you're meteorologically apathetic towards your team, holy smokes, then change need to come to Tombstone. And it's their Sunday. I think the forecast is also going to be for just like another cider donut of a day down there. And I freaking love Drake May and the red Pat the Patriot throwbacks, because you want to know why? He's probably going to be running for his life circa Steve Grogan 1977, and it's going to be a show. He looks good. He looks good in that uniform, by the way.
He looks good in any uniform. He's a young man with a good solid build to him. Just embrace it.
Exactly. And look, if it gets out of hand, watch the entire game. And then if you need a really good laugh after the game to cheer yourself up after you've tuned into the Six Rings postgame show and shared your feelings, all you got to do is throw on the new Aaron Hernandez show for scenes of gold like this.
Song for the broken hearted. A silent prayer for baby parted. It's my life.
I can't. I'm with everyone who has shared that sequence on Twitter, on Instagram, YouTube, whatever, whatever platform you choose. That should win all of the awards. That alone. And by the way, just released this morning on the Six Rings and Football Things feed is my conversation from last week. And I sit down with the actor who portrayed Bill Belichick in the Aaron Hernandez Show on FX Hulu, Norbert Leo Butz. He's an incredible actor, star of stage and screen, multiple Tony Awards, phenomenal guy, phenomenal actor, incredible musician. The thing that blew me away the most, Andy, 4 hours of makeup a day.
Yeah, I saw that, which is crazy because you think of 4 hours as like Michael Chiklis as the rock guy in the X,
as Thing or like Guardians of the Galaxy for something like,
not just a old football coach with a, you know, barrel chest and a kind of weathered face, but I love it. I am really enjoying the Hernandez documentary way more than I expected to. I have been watching every episode and I'm loving it.
How about the kid who played Gronk? His voice is
nailed when he goes like the laugh.
Come on, bro. Let's get hyped. I thought people were trolling him on Twitter yesterday. I was like, you guys don't understand how difficult it is when it's very easy. Like, if you don't know somebody to then learn to do an impression of them or an impersonation or like be influenced by them, it's a lot easier. But when somebody has such a larger than life personality, we're not talking about a superhero cackle or being the Joker, but you know, when you've got to do subtle nuances and this guy, Norbert Butz, was not a football fan really, but like had access to all these people that knew Belichick and then just basically did a family deep dive. It's a great chat. The podcast is fascinating. How his process of going back and basically studying Bill's dad and studying Bill, the person, not Bill, the coach, to try to like become the, like just become so cocky and become so smart and become kind of sympathetic. Like it's great. It's the show, absurd.
Delightful. A great way. I love it.
I can't stop watching it either because it's like the Hernandez running and catching touchdowns. Like you would like, he was a transformative athletic figure. When you watch the show, you're like, that's not fast. Oh, okay. It doesn't matter.
Well, you know, they can't get NFL players out there, so they got to make the best of what they have in terms of actors. But
I know
it's such a guilty
Thank you.
That's such a guilty pleasure.
It's really so R-rated. It is a hard R.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a lot going on. There's a lot going on there.
Yeah, he really did. Bill Belichick is an impossible. Remember when they kept talking about who's it going to be? Is it going to be Bryan Cranston?
Yep.
Is it going to be Michael Chiklis, this actor? I never thought it would be this guy. Like a star of Broadway who's been in all these huge musicals and won multiple Tony Awards. And then like just hearing everyone give it a listen. It's really kind of fun. It's kind of like the Six Rings version of Inside the Actor's Studio. And he just takes you through the process. It's a great chat. I had a great time doing it as well. Anyway, that'll do for this. This has been fun. Thank you for this massive live audience that has joined us as well. That alone should tell you how excited people are once again to talk and share the joy of NFL and, of course, Patriots. Please tell your friends to jump in. We're going to be here with you with multiple podcasts before games, after games, anything extra we can bring you. And please do stay tuned to the radio shows as well. Andy's on the afternoon show. You can follow him at Jumbo Heart. I'm on two nights a week, Saturdays and Sundays. Your old pal, Nick Fitzy Stevens, at Fitzy GFY. Anything else before we go, Andy?
Now I can literally say and join in with you, go Pats.
Yeah, baby. You know what? I don't think I'm dead inside anymore. It feels good. I'm not going to share that clip. I'm not going to. You know what? I'm just not going to. All right, guys. We'll talk to you after the game on Sunday. We'll be there with you from after the game until 7:30 on WEEI. Have a great rest of your week. Thanks for watching it live. Hope you enjoyed the podcast as well. This has been the latest Six Rings and Football Things brought to you by WEEI Odyssey and 2400 Sports. For Hart, this is Fitzy and everyone else involved. Good day. God bless. Let the mania run wild. And as always, go Pats.